Thank you, Johnny, for that wonderful introduction. I apologize for not having time to go out for lunch, but we'll make that part later.
Okay.
I have a very special message I'd like to share with you this morning. I'm sure you've heard it before, but I just simply want to talk to you about the love of Jesus Christ. How wonderful He has been, how wonderful He has been to me, to this church. And I especially enjoy the opening prayer. But I have one slight problem with it. You mentioned, bless our little group. And you know that when one soul is saved, the angels in heaven rejoice. So if that one person is enough to cause the angels in heaven to rejoice, I can imagine that the rejoicing that goes on when they see this many people gathered in one room to worship God. It's a wonderful thing. Let me open with prayer before we start. Father, it is indeed an honor and a privilege to stand before this group. And I pray, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this message, upon this teaching. I pray that it will fall upon the ears, the hearts of this group in such a way that they will learn, that they'll be able to take it away from the church and share it with us. I pray for a very special blessing upon the entire church, for each family that is gathered here. And we ask now again that you would bless the teaching of the reading of your word in Christ's name. Amen. Our focal verses this morning will be Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. As we go into those verses, though, I'd like to bring your attention to the first word, therefore. Therefore just simply means that before Paul started writing chapter 12, he had mentioned some other things in Romans chapter 1 through 11 that he felt was important that you should know. So I'll highlight just a few points that Paul brings out in Romans chapter 1 through 11. Beginning in chapter 12, therefore is really the pivotal point of this book, a theological book, Romans. So some of the points that Paul brought out in those first 11 chapters, first of all, he talked about salvation. He looked at both the Jews and the Gentiles. He talked about righteousness. I'd like for you to look at righteousness this morning. Thunder and lightning. Look at righteousness as just being in right standing with God. Right standing with God. Very simple, easy to remember definition. Paul talked about that. He talked about justification. He talked about salvation as through God's grace by our faith in Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 9 through 11, he talked about some concerns he had for the nation of Israel. So with that said, just a very brief overview of Romans chapter 1 through 11. Now Paul, he's writing this letter, but I'm sure if he were standing in front of us, he would say, now look, therefore, you should already know this. You should already experience this, so therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I've highlighted that, a living sacrifice. Following that, he identifies what would be pleasing to God. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In the King James translation, he says, this is your reasonable service. Reasonable is something you can do very easily. It's not something that requires you to walk to the cross, to carry the cross that Christ carried. Even though as a Christian we're told to pick up the cross, to carry that burden. But he says reasonable. But this morning I'm going to make a very general appeal to you. General is like, hey, I really want you to do this. I'll even pay you if you do this. I'll give you something extra. But just a general appeal is not coercion. He's not pushing. He's not threatening. He's not pushing. He's not threatening.
As a kid, I used to sneak around and do things.
really bad thing. I painted my mom best friend with lipstick one time. Not good. Repercussion. I poured syrup on the bed one time. Not good. I wasn't trying to be mean. I just wanted to do it. So, but anyway, you can't, she could not look in my face and tell that I did that. She had to physically go and see because I wasn't going to tell her. But anyway, you cannot see a person's true nature, their true character, just by looking at that person. Their attributes, relationships, motivations, habits are not brought to light. So look in a mirror reveals our physical appearance, but it does not show, again, it doesn't show our true character. By looking at you, I really don't know what's in here. But the mirror, even though it doesn't show our thoughts, behavior, when we stand before Jesus Christ, we become transparent. He can see the good, the bad, and the ugly. We get that term from an old Clint Eastwood movie, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Christ looks at you, you become transparent. So as we pass through life, the first of all, when Christ looks at you, you become totally exposed. So, as we pass through life, we see things, we hear things, we participate in things, and these things should serve then as a guidepost that transforms us, and you might associate this word with sanctification. It transforms us. Sanctification is a process once you have accepted Christ. A transformation occurs instantly when you've accepted Christ. That transformation occurs and you gradually transform more into the image or the conscience of Christ. Very similar to sanctification, but we want to use it in terms this morning of transform. And there are some reasons for that. So we move more into the conscience, the very conscience of Jesus Christ, into his mental image. So I'm going to speed some things up. We're going to accept Christ. We're going through a process. We receive an invitation. If you don't know Christ, I just simply suggest to you that you get to know Christ. That you get to a point that you can accept Christ as your personal Savior. So we accept Him. Then by faith, we go. We accept Him by faith, by grace, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we accept Him. But now, once we've accepted Him, where do we go with that? Now that we've been saved by grace through faith, what is God's will? He tells us in Romans, we can continue to the next slide if you will. He tells us that we are to conform to the image of Christ. He tells us to function within the limits of the work that God has gave us. He tells us to function within an attitude of holiness. And once we've met these requirements, we've accepted Christ, we've become... That's good. We'll just lead it on item two. We'll just move to that point. That's good. So once we've accepted Christ, we have reached a point now that we're coming to Him in holiness. We're coming to Christ with our hearts open. We're transparent. We're coming to Him in an attitude of holiness. And we can truly look at Christ and say, hey, I can now offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. We want to look at a living sacrifice. First of all, sacrifice alludes to the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. It also, there are two types of sacrifices. Just commit to your memory, if you would. Number one, It's the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, opened an avenue for our salvation. Number two is the knowledge of that, the knowledge that results in our behavior and our body being available to Christ, our physical being becomes available to Christ. And these points are not on the board, but we're talking about sacrifice, presenting our body to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice, dead to sin. So we move on. Before we can do that, we must be holy. And really, a living sacrifice literally means a living body. A good living sacrifice is a good living body, one that breathes, eats, sleeps. Not someone that gives himself up to martyrdom and goes out and blows themselves up. That is not the kind of sacrifice we're talking about. We're talking about a living sacrifice, someone that can walk, eat, sleep, see, and represent physically Jesus Christ. So, we'll move on to conform. Do not adapt the lifestyle consistent with the ways of this world. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 again. Verse 2. Conform simply means to... An example would be if I write a specification and I tell you that the liquid that goes in this cup must conform to the requirements of pure water. In other words, Paul is saying, don't conform to the ways of the world. Just don't conform to the ways of the world. We won't go into the details of that. But he says that for this reason. There are two things. Don't conform to the ways of the world, but, a little conjunction there, but, transform yourself. Let's read that verse again. I'm going to read it out of my Bible. Okay, here we go. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't follow the ways of the world. Transform your mind, your very mind, to the principles of Jesus Christ. So, he's talking about an inward change in character, in personality and character. We'll look at personality in these terms. It's the patterns and qualities of behavior expressed through your mental and physical activity. Your character, the pattern of behavior or personality found in an individual, your moral constitution. So Paul is saying, I want you to change your character, your personality. I want it to be Christ-like. Now I'm going to skip down to a poem, if you would, that I wrote several months back. So if you could move your screen down to the poem that's called A Shepherd's Plea. And these two points. A transformed life in Christ will result in a life of righteousness and love in all areas of your behavior, both social, civil, and moral. These points are covered as you continue through Romans 12. If you read through Romans 12 and 14, you'll find all of these points. Second point I want to mention here, the shepherd's plea is a look in a mirror. I want you to look in the mirror, just take a quick look, and ask yourself this question. Does your life yield itself to the will of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? If He died on a cross for you, He was willing to give His life for you, then the least you can do is offer yourself to a reasonable service. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. Here's how you can do that. And I mentioned we're going to do this very gently so we can cover you and you you and I, we're all in this boat together, right? So here's what Paul is saying. Remember this also, that God's will for your life will never take you past His grace, His ability to carry you through. So you don't have to worry about stepping out. He's going to be right there with you. So this point, through your eyes, can I see the direction I must follow? This is Jesus Christ speaking. He's locked in a cell, this little human body, this temple. And He's asking the question, can I see the things I want to see through your eyes? I want to look through your mind, your conscience, and I want to see the things that are pleasing to me. So by your vision, we've expanded it. The eyes are focused, they're looking, but then you're looking at a vision. By your vision, can I see my desired goals? I have some things I want to accomplish. I want to see them through your eyes. Example, you go to school, your best friend does not know Jesus Christ. Christ sees that. He knows that. He sees it through your eyes. He sees your thoughts, your transparency. The general urging that I mentioned earlier is this: to become a living sacrifice, all you would have to do is this. I'll use Johnny as my example. Johnny, do you know Christ is your personal Savior?
Yes, sir.
Johnny does. And okay, I didn't know. I couldn't tell by your actions. I just met him. I didn't know he was a pastor or minister. It's that little door that you can open. You can open it so easy. You can open it like this. You can just tell your friend, boy, I had a good time at church last week. I go over to the Chinese Christian church. You should come sometime. Leave it at that. Plant a seed. You don't have to cultivate the whole field at one time. Just plant a seed. The next point, through your hands, can I build the dreams of my kingdom? Have you helped in the kitchen at the church? Have you helped to clean the floors? Have you helped to do all of these things? So we go on and on through this point, and we don't have time to finish it, but you're having a baptizing at noon, so we have to have the church ready.
You can help me. Yeah. Just finish it. Yeah.
We'll rush through it. So you can follow the screen. I'll follow on my sheet of paper. So through your hands, can I build the dreams of my kingdom? There's a practical side to our spiritual worship. It has to go from our spiritual acceptance by grace through faith in Jesus Christ to putting some hands to it. Granted that you can't work your way into God's kingdom, but you can certainly take the attributes you have been blessed with and transmit that mentally to physically, your hands. You can help build God's kingdom. Does your aspirations, can He prove His total reality that He wants to see in the life of a Christian? By your travels, can I visit my desired destination? Can I go to church with you on Sunday morning? Or are you going to drag me in this temple down to one of the video shop game shops? So, as a Christian, you see, you hear, you travel in the areas that are pleasing to God. But finally, through your lips, can I speak my thoughts? This is the most important of all. We know that the eyes are the inroad to the heart. It's through the eyes that we form mental thoughts that our thought process often begins. So, through your lips, can I speak my thoughts? Have you been a testimony to Jesus Christ? By your words, can I verbalize my demands? Through your mind, can I exercise my wisdom? Paul made it very clear. Transform your mind. Take the wisdom of God and share it. Through your heart, can I experience my emotions? The heart is often thought of in the Bible as the very seat of the emotions of Jesus Christ. Is your heart in the right place? Is it a heart that seeks after Jesus Christ? By your thoughts, can I extend my desire of hope? My hope is very simple, that not one person be lost, that all receive the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we'll close with that, and thank you again for having me. It is indeed a privilege, an honor to speak to you guys. It's always fun sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And we've squeezed this down just a little, but I think you get the point, you get the message. And above all, I think you understand that you have to be more than just, you cannot be passive and serve Jesus Christ. Contribute your part. So with that said, let me close this message in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this privilege. I trust, Lord, that the words that have been spoken, that they'll be transferred into practical matters that the people here this morning will take those words out and share them with others. We'll do the things that will draw others to Christ, that we will truly use the members of our body to exercise your will, that we will have a body of Christ, that we will all do the things that will be found pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen.